is Absolute Obsession, The Billionaire's Paradigm, a BDSM erotic romance, written by Cerise Tulis, narrated by Irma Kent. Snow fell in fluffy white flakes outside, covering the empty streets in a heavy winter frosting. I stood inside, behind the library counter, warm, staring at it. It was a Friday afternoon, and the library was almost entirely empty. No one wanted to go out during the storm, and honestly, I couldn't blame them. I didn't want to go out in the storm either. But this was my job, and almost everyone else had called out sick. The weather reports claimed a record-breaking 78 inches, and the news anchor kept going on and on about how this hadn't happened since 1921 in Silver Lake, Colorado. Apparently back then, they received 76 inches in 24 hours. And on and on and on. Numbers. Forever. I liked the news as much as the next person, but didn't they always exaggerate the weather? It was hard to tell sometimes. When they called for rain, it didn't rain. Sun begot rain, and snow became a wintry mix, and nothing ever truly turned out like it was supposed to. That's what I thought anyways. Staring at the snow now, I reconsidered my opinion. "Hey, Elise!" I turned, eyes glazed from watching the snowfall. "Yes, Margaret?" "Do you mind if I take off early? I mean, it's just you and me, you know? And there's no one here. Even Rob didn't come in, so..." I shrugged. "I guess. Sure. I won't say anything." "Maybe you should leave, too," she added. "I doubt anyone's going to show up. It's getting kind of bad out there." I worked in the library every weekday after my college courses, but those were canceled for today. Usually my shifts ended at 9 in the evening. Currently, it was 4 o'clock. "I can't," I said. "Someone has to close down, right?" Margaret looked at me and sighed. "You're always like this, you know? I don't understand it. I know you like libraries, but... aren't you taking a call of duty too far? Even Rob didn't come in, and he runs the place." I laughed. "His daughter just had a baby. He took the whole week off. Otherwise, I bet he would have come in, no matter what." "Maybe." She didn't sound convinced. "Just be careful, all right? It's getting pretty bad out there." "I can see that," I said, staring pointedly out a window again. "I'm sure it'll stop soon." "Yeah, you're probably right." Margaret grabbed her coat and hat and gloves from a cubby behind the library counter and bundled herself up. "Well, ta-ta, Miss Tanner. Pip-pip cheerio," I said in reply, grinning. Neither of us was English, and I doubted English people even said half the things we said to one another. But it sounded fancy sometimes. Or different, at least. Margaret opened the door to the library, sending the bell above it a tinkling fit. A rush of harsh wind blew inside, bringing a gust of snow with it, and she hurried through it and shut the door hard behind her. I watched her leave, gazing off into the winter wonderland long after I lost sight of her. And now what? I was alone in the library, in the middle of a supposedly record-breaking snowstorm. I brought up the weather on the library computer and scanned through the forecast. 78 inches running through until late tomorrow afternoon. Except now it was even worse, apparently. The snow might stop, but another blizzard was headed this way and could keep the city blanketed and white for another day or two after. Unfortunately, as the little ticker scrolling across the monitor screen stated, it was unlikely we'd beat out the one storm record of 189 inches that happened during 1959 in Shostaski Bowl, California. Oh, yes, I thought. How unfortunate. Were they serious? 78 seemed like plenty to me. I checked my email while I was at it. Nothing, nothing, spam, and an invitation to a snowed-in party from the local sorority. They wanted to formally invite everyone to their sorority house during the storm for a party. If the power went out, they had plenty of food and beverages to last for the weekend, plus candles, blankets, and more. Plus, it said, with so many people in one place, it'd be easy to find a cuddle partner to keep warm. Or more. More. Yes. Ugh. I groaned thinking about it. Why did most college people have this mindset? Granted, I was older than most of my classmates, and going for my MFA, but still. Yes, let's just all act like it's the end of the world, wait for the power to go out, and find some thinly veiled excuse to fuck someone's brains out. Ick. I disliked all of this. I just wanted to go to class, finish my coursework, get my degree, and then what? I didn't know. What use was an MFA in creative writing with a specialization in fiction? I could write, and I did write. But sometimes it seems so hard. How did anyone get their foot in the door? Do I just write? I'd taken some classes discussing this exact thing. Sort of. But they left me more baffled than before. Quite a feat, too, considering I had exceptional grades so far. But I digress. I should do my homework. That's what I should do. Except, I decided to check YouTube quickly because who would stop me? Rob hated people using the computers for personal use. But Rob wasn't here. And no one else was here. And no one needed the computers for non-personal use, so I scanned the front page trying to find something interesting to watch before buckling down and studying. Nothing, nothing, nothing. My finger twitched, accidentally clicking on a video. On the screen, wearing a crisp dark suit with a silver tie, stood Lucient Storm. Lucient, the description of the video said, was the newest director of public relations for Landseer Enterprises. He had taken over for Solomon Royce, who was involved in some severe scandals during the middle of last year. The description went on to describe all this, then more. And I gave up reading and just watched the video after that. Lucient Storm talked about the future of Landseer Enterprises and how he'd do his best to keep everything crystal clear. Public relations should be about the public, and continually fostering positive regard, not the archaic practice of diffusing bad situations when they arose and acting oblivious to general interest otherwise. Lucian Storm sure could talk, I thought. He said a lot of words, and they sounded nice, but was that really it? I didn't like him. Not just because of the shady look he had. Yes, he wore dressy clothes and looked nice. And yes, he looked really nice. Lucian was handsome, all right? I knew this. And I also knew he'd never look twice at someone like me. So I didn't know how he could talk about continually fostering positive regard. It sounded great in theory, but it just didn't work. People like him never associated with people like me. The library was only a few blocks away from Landseer Tower, and I never saw him, or Asher Landseer, or anyone like them. I saw Jessica once, Asher's new wife, after his mutually agreed-upon divorce. My God, what a disaster that sounded like. The tabloids were abuzz after it happened. Mutually agreed upon after the man she was having an affair with tried to kill her husband? I really hope he never considered staying with her afterwards anyways. Jessica was supposedly normal, but I doubted it. She looked nothing like any normal person I'd seen. What had she done before marrying Asher? Well, nothing. She graduated from college, took on small jobs, and then met him. And that's it. Fairy tales and fantasies, really. Except what use would someone like Asher Landseer have with a girl like that? There were rumors about what Lucient Storm looked for in a woman, though. He was into the darker sides of sexuality. At least according to the common gossip of the day. I shouldn't involve myself in that, but I currently had little social life to speak of, quite evident by my situation during this record-breaking snowstorm. And I enjoyed thinking about it. For creative reasons. I was majoring in creative writing, after all. The video finished, and a list of other recommended videos popped up. I clicked out of the internet browser, forcing myself to begin committing to my studies. Grabbing my book bag from behind the library counter, I hefted it up and pulled out one of my books. I needed to read chapters 3 through 8 by Monday, then write a 5-page paper. Why read behind the library counter, though? That's what I usually did, just in case someone came in and needed help. Rob hated people using the computers, but he loved for us to read books back there. It made us seem more bookish, he said. Librarians reading books? Who knew? I decided not to spend more time back here than necessary, though. I had the entire library at my disposal. And while it wasn't the most up-to-date place ever, I liked it here. I loved it, actually. I knew this was kind of dumb, and the job didn't even pay very well, but I loved it here. Margaret probably thought I didn't want to leave in case Rob found out, but that wasn't it. I didn't want to leave because I didn't want to leave. I wanted a library one day. Some massive, expansive affair of my own, in my giant house. Or maybe the library was my house? I'd set up a dining table in the center and put my bedroom on the second floor, in between squared-off shelves. The bathroom could be the only regular room in the house, and everything else should be creatively crafted using bookshelves and ladders, scaffolding, steps, nooks, crannies, hideaways, this and that, books, everything. I waltzed through the library imagining this was that. My feet danced lightly across the thick carpets, and I scurried over to the children's section. The children's section had beanbags around a small stage area where local authors came and read stories now and again, or librarians did otherwise. I never read a story. I liked children, but I got nervous speaking in groups. Silly, really, because now I was dancing through the library as if I were some elegant lady of well-renown, social and graceful and witty beyond belief. I'd say some cunning joke and the entire room around me would laugh. Oh, yes. Not really. I plopped into a beanbag and opened up my book to chapter 3. Skimming through the introduction, I settled into the meat of it. This wasn't a fun book, though. There were no dashing heroes and ladies of well-renown, no social grace and ballroom dances or fancy dinners, no romance, no high adventure, no love, lost, forgotten, or otherwise. No, it was a school book, and on any other day, I'd read it and study and force myself into it, no matter what. But on this snowy, lonely day, I soon found myself drifting off to sleep. I awoke, or I thought I did, and saw a man. He stood in front of me, wearing a dark, crisp suit, with black shoes and a gray tie. Smirking, he looked down at me. He stared at me, into me, and for a moment, I felt anxious. Then I realized I must not have woken up because he was definitely Lucient Storm, and why would he be in the library? Or for that matter, why was I dreaming of Lucient Storm? A nightmare, probably. Some dismal addition to my dream world meant to scare me awake. I'd find myself in a cold sweat upon returning to reality. Was it snowing outside still? Lazily, I turned to peer out one of the windows, ignoring the dream man in front of me. Why I looked out a dream window, I didn't know. But yes, it was still snowing. The snow reached halfway up the windows now, and showed no signs of stopping. The man in front of me cleared his throat.
Hello, he said. Am I interrupting your nap?
I yawned and stretched my arms above my head. My book rested against my chest, pushing into my breasts as I arched my back. When I brought my hands down, the book ended up resting just beneath my breasts, holding them up and putting on a show. What did I care, though? I was dreaming.
Quiet, little one, are you?
Lucian stared at my breasts. This, I thought, was how I should know he wasn't real.
What if I were looking for a book?
I hardly think it necessary, I said, yawning once more, to deal with figments of my imagination.
Is that what I am?
He asked, raising one brow.
I dare say this is news to me.
I'm dreaming, I added. I fell asleep in the library, and I'm sure it's time to leave soon.
Yes, well, don't count on that,
he said.
I was trying to leave, too, except there's no way out. The subway system is shut down, my car snowed in at the garage, and the taxi company laughed at me when I called for a cab. I would have stayed where I was, but the damnable building has an automatic power shut off for the weekends, and I don't relish walking around in a dark office for the evening.
What? I asked, sleep drifting away from me. Now that I thought about it, I didn't really feel like I was asleep. And while mostly clean, this man's suit had a few telltale signs of an outdoor snow adventure. Damp, disheveled hair, too. Tousled and handsome. Close-cropped. Lucian stared at me, eyes glimmering with some devilish recognition. What did he see in me? And why? And,
oh my God,
I said. You're Lucian Storm.
A pleasure, he said, offering me a curt bow. And you are?
What are you doing here?
I just told you.
I don't understand. My brain overloaded, forgetting how to function.
We're surrounded by storefronts and office buildings that, if you hadn't noticed, shut down for the day hours ago. This was the only and nearest place with a light on, and the door was open. There's nowhere else.
We're trapped? I asked.
He nodded. Quite.
You're Lucian Storm, I muttered again. I realized then that I was sitting on a beanbag in the children's section of the library, a book beneath my breasts, propping them up for prime viewing pleasure. I jumped up and away from him, bouncing to my feet, pulling my skirt back down to my knees from its previous lascivious spot hiked high up on my thigh. I tried to present myself with some appropriate appearance. Lucian merely smirked at me.
You know who I am. But who, might I ask, are you?
Elise, I murmured, affectedly shy all of a sudden. Elise Tanner.
A pleasure, Miss Tanner,
he said, holding out his hand. I took it, thinking he meant to shake my hand by way of introduction, but instead, he grasped my fingertips and brought the back of my hand to his lips, kissing me lightly.
I froze, staring at him in shock.
His hand felt so warm and soft, almost sharp, like I shouldn't touch it for fear of hurting myself. And his kiss on the back of my hand sent a sting running through my skin, a jolt like a static electric shock, which it probably was, I told myself.
Calm down, Elise. The carpets in the library were thick, and anyone walking through them could inadvertently shock someone if they dragged their feet just a little bit.
This made perfect sense, except for the fact that Lucian wore shoes, which no doubt had rubber soles. I pulled my hand away fast, as if he were the burner atop a stove, and I'd touched him while hot. While he was hot? Or I was hot? Was I hot? He was staring at my breasts, but I thought he was a dream. So did that count? What the hell? I didn't even want him to think I was hot. This wasn't about that. Ugh, snap out of it, Elise. In all honesty,
I didn't like Lucien Storm, and this was my first time meeting him. But I doubted that'd change much. "So," I said, "we're stuck here, I guess."
"Yes," Lucien said.
"It seems so."
"You work here, I assume?"
I nodded. "I'm the only one here right now." He grinned. What was that look in his eyes? I remembered the rumors of a darker sexuality, but... No, that wasn't true.
Was it?
Would he force himself on me right here and now? What could I do if he did? We were trapped in a library, snow surrounding us. Isolated and alone. Together.
"Give me a tour," he said.
"I've never been here, but I like the looks of it."
"What?"
I stammered.
"You work here, don't you? Give me a tour."
"I'm not a tour guide," I said. Meek.
"And?"
"I don't give tours. I'm a librarian. I work at the front counter and help people find books."
"Then let's pretend I've asked for every book, and you're going to show them to me,"
he said.
"Except skip the part about the books, and give me a tour."
"Are you always this demanding?" I asked, the words slipping out of my mouth, surprising me.
"You have no idea,"
he said with a smirk. "I gave Lucien Storm a tour. I was giving one to him. I didn't give tours. Rob gave the elementary school kids a tour once a year or so, but that was it. We didn't have tour guides. It was a nice library, but not that nice. Not the kind of place with a gift shop or anything. Nowhere near as fancy as some libraries out there. Still, I brought Lucien Storm on a tour, and he admired everything with a certain sense of indignance. Outwardly, he appeared interested and curious. But I doubted it. He hummed, staring at things, listening to me talk about this and that. Occasionally, he asked a question, but otherwise he treated me like hired help. And this still made no sense to me. Lucien Storm, upper-class businessman, the director of public relations for the entirety of Landseer Enterprises. He had money. More money than me, and more money than I'd make in a lifetime, probably. I should be swooning at his feet, I thought, acting like some smitten little girl. That's likely what he intended for me. But no, I wouldn't. I wasn't smitten, first off. I didn't even like him. Yes, he was handsome. And yes, I found myself staring at his jawline more than once, wondering what it'd be like to kiss him there. But that was normal. People did these things. If I saw an attractive man, I could admire him without fawning over him, couldn't I?
"Show me this room," he said.
I stared at him. He kept demanding things of me, not even asking. "That's the lounge," I said. "It's for people who work here."
"Show it to me."
"Look, Lucien..." I don't know why I called him by his first name. I shouldn't have called him by his first name. He glared at me with fiery eyes that could melt a path through the snow outside in an instant. "Mr. Storm," I said, correcting myself, "you don't work here. That room is for employees only."
"Miss Tanner," he said, "we're the only two in here, and it's possible we'll be stuck here for a while. So I would appreciate it if you showed me this room."
"I hope we're not stuck in here for a while,"
I muttered.
"I don't think I can deal with you for that long."
"What?"
he asked, his expression smoldering. "I'm not going to," I said. I needed to put my foot down and show him he couldn't boss me around. "It's not allowed." Lucien ignored me, walked past me, and traipsed into the employee lounge. Finding a switch on the inside wall, he flipped it and surveyed his surroundings.
"Was that so difficult?"
he asked, turning about face and staring at me. He sounded angry, looked angry. Why was he angry? I should be angry. You're a visitor, I said, exasperated. We have rules here.
Extenuating circumstances call for drastic measures, he said. Also, I don't see what the huff is about. The room contains a table, some chairs, a sink, a refrigerator, a microwave, and a television.
Thanks for keeping track of inventory, I said. He gave me a stern glare, his dark eyes gleaming like nightmares personified.
I am going to turn on the TV, he said, his voice measured. Is that all right, Miss Tanner?
I don't care anymore, I said. Can you please call me Elise?
Elise, he said, tasting my name. Not calling me it, but saying it. The way he said it made me feel dirty and sexual and debased all at once.
Maybe I should let him continue calling me Miss Tanner.
Lucian flipped on the TV with a push of the power button, then switched to the local news station.
The news reporters warned everyone of a snow emergency and cautioned people to stay inside. The governor had called a statewide emergency ban on road travel, too, and urged companies to allow their employees to work from home this weekend if they could. He frowned at the TV, looking petulant and naughty, like some boy in need of a spanking. I found myself staring at his backside and wondering what it looked like without pants. And maybe without anything else, either. Did he keep in shape? He looked fit, but it was hard to tell with the suit on. Not that I should care, really. If I wasn't fit, why should I expect him to be? I was thin enough, but not by any real effort on my part. I should go to the gym, or run. But I had school, and I didn't want to go, and... Lucian turned around and saw me looking at his lower half while I daydreamed and made excuses in my head for not exercising more often.
Like what you see?
He asked. I snapped my head up, looking him in the eyes for a second before averting my gaze. Sorry, I said. He stepped forward and took my chin in his hand, tilting my head up so he could look at me. Our eyes connected, gazing into one another. He furrowed his brow, considering me. I jerked my head away and slapped at his hand. What are you doing?
Nothing, he said. I thought I saw something.
What?
Nothing.
And that was that. He refused to elaborate. We finished our tour and found ourselves in one of the book club rooms on the second floor. Lucian stepped in without asking, scanned the room, then nodded. What was he nodding at? I had no idea. He looked over at me and smiled.
While we're stuck here, we should make the best of it. Shall we play a game?
The way he said the words, they sounded so sinful. And the look in his eyes as he watched me spoke of predatory tendencies. His lips twisted up in a lazy rendition of a wicked grin. He's a wolf in his mind, I thought, and I'm nothing but a lowly lamb. In his mind, at least. They're not in mine. I didn't actually know what I'd consider myself. The thought struck me as odd.
What?
I asked. Lucian pulled a sealed deck of cards from his inside suit coat pocket and meticulously began peeling away the plastic wrapping. Then slid the cards out of the deck box and started shuffling them.
Cards?
He asked. Do you play? His voice was both inviting and insistent at once, as if he wanted to pressure me into joining him or else accept my fate as a lesser being. I frowned and sat opposite him at the table.
Yes.
Good. He continued shuffling. Do you always carry around a fresh pack of cards? I asked. That seems odd, don't you think? He didn't bother looking up from his chore.
I've been accused more than once of cheating.
I find it best to provide a new deck when dealing with new people.
So you're good?
Hardly.
But
you just said...
I paused to recollect my thoughts.
Why would anyone accuse you of cheating if you aren't good?
Because I win.
I rolled my eyes at him. In response, watching me, he licked his lips. I shivered, feeling cold all of a sudden.
Are you always so terse?
I muttered, finding it harder and harder to speak in his presence. He had this demeanor about him that made me feel childish and small, even while asking proper and obvious questions.
Also, if you aren't good at cards, how do you win?
I'm not always terse, Lucian said, sliding the cards over for me to cut them. I dislike idle chit-chat. It serves no meaning, and bothers me. What's the point of it? In my 29 years on this planet, I have never once seen a need to indulge in the whimsy of nothingness.
He furrowed his brow, narrowing his eyes at me, looking as if he felt like he'd said too much already and needed to go back and edit his statement to omit needless words.
As to cards, he continued, I'm precise and understand the rules. It is enjoyable to me. I pay careful attention to both myself and my opponents, and I gather information related to the possibilities at hand. I do nothing more or less than anyone else could do. And so I can't say I'm good, but I am thorough.
You sound like a card shark, I said without thinking. Then quick I slapped my hand over my mouth. Why did I keep doing this?
Lucian was anything but casual, and I needed to remember this. The more I tried to treat him in a friendly way, the more angry he seemed to get with me. Except he didn't seem angry now. His lips curled in a wide grin that revealed his teeth, and he glanced at me with half-lidded, deceptively sleepy-looking eyes.
An apt assessment, he said. Not entirely correct, though.
Let us play, and then I shall teach you.
I squeaked out some sound of assent.
Shall we raise the stakes?
He asked.
We have no poker chips, though to be honest, I find that mundane most times anyways. A false sense of gambling is dull.
Excuse me, I said, attempting to sound offended and upset. My voice came out more timid and unsure than anything, though. Is this some ploy of yours to get me to play strip poker?
He pursed his lips and stared at me blankly.
His expression... What was that look on his face?
With one brow raised, eyes passive, lips pressed together. He almost seemed slightly taken aback, considering my option, and unsure what to make of it.
No, he said. I didn't have that in mind. It's hardly fair, anyways. I have more clothes than you.
I frowned at him, and compared the differences in our attire. I wore a skirt that went down to my knees, with pantyhose, fur-trimmed boots, and a tight-fitting turtleneck sweater, with tapered sleeves. Lucian wore a business suit with various business trappings and accessories, probably an undershirt, a dress shirt above that, a sleek silvered vest. Then his matching tie, and a dark gray suit coat to top it all off. Pants, of course, then shoes, socks. Boxers or briefs?
He gave me a curious glance while I blushed at the sudden turn my thoughts had taken. He swiftly dealt the cards and I tried to bring my mind to a less obscene place.
Yes, well, I told myself loudly, speaking in my head, I'm wearing 5 things, if I count my bra, which I do, and he's wearing 9. Unless, of course, he's not wearing boxers or briefs, in which case... I snatched up my cards and fanned them out, hiding my face from him as best I could.
Are you all right?
He asked with a grin.
You look a little flush.
Is that a card joke? I countered. He laughed. Indeed. What are we even playing? I snapped, trying to regain control of myself.
Go fish.
Are you being serious or are you making fun of me?
Deathly serious,
he said. And that grin again. Shall we discuss the raised stakes before we begin?
Look, I said. Lucient, Mr. Storm, whatever. I'm not a child. You don't need to treat me like one, all right? In fact, you said you're 29?
You do look young. I know it must impress people that you've become some big-shot businessman. But I'm nearly 24, and we're of a similar age.
I can play adult games now, you know.
Miss Tanner, he said.
He was mocking me. I knew it.
Never once did I claim that you were a child. In fact, I find it quite agreeable to learn we're of a similar age. Otherwise, I might have mistaken you for someone much younger.
I appreciate the fact that you haven't trussed yourself up in a plentitude of cosmetics and have a pleasing, more natural look about you. I find it rather offensive, though, that you feel I'm treating you as less than an adult because of my choice in card games.
Oh, I said, the blood draining from my face. He was an articulate vampire, and he'd performed the lingual equivalent of sucking my blood, apparently.
Also, what? He found me pleasing to look at?
A compliment, though a somewhat odd one, and I liked it. I really liked it. My pulse quickened thinking about it. I remembered the horribly done-up sorority snowed-in party email before, with glaring innuendos and obvious sexual overtones. This, though, Lucient's words, they were different. He sounded both frustrated and genuine, all at once, and it caught me off guard.
I'm sorry, I said. I thought you were mocking me.
I wasn't, he said. I apologize for the misunderstanding, but don't do it again. I never mock anyone. If I dislike someone, I ignore them.
All right, I said, nodding.
So he liked me, since he wasn't ignoring me? Or, no, it didn't always need to be so black and white, I reminded myself. He just didn't dislike me. That was all.
Tell me if this is agreeable, he said.
We shall play to completion, and the winner may ask the other person a question. They must answer it truthfully, to the best of their ability.
You didn't say loser, I said.
I despise the term.
Why?
He smirked and winked at me playfully.
Win the game and ask.
Then I'll tell you.
Don't you think that... How should I say this? This seems, while not childish, somewhat juvenile. It's like truth or dare, isn't it?
I make a sizable salary, yearly, dealing with the gaining and doling out of information. Are you saying my career is juvenile, Miss Tanner?
When you put it like that, I guess not, I muttered.
Then you agree to my terms.
I took a deep breath, steadying myself. Yes, Lucient won. Of course he won. From what he said before, and the self-satisfied look on his face, I had no doubts that he intended to win the entire game. He began reshuffling the cards.
Again? He asked. A different game. Do you have any suggestions?
Yes, I said. I needed something difficult, maybe even something Lucient had never played before. Was he only good at card games because he knew them, though? Or did he have a knack for this kind of thing?
Thinking quickly, I said,
Baccarat.
Ah. Lucient smiled, then in impeccable French he said,
Chemin de fer aux banques, mademoiselle. Je préfère le chemin de fer moi-même.
He knew French,
What an asshole. Clearing my throat, refusing to let him get the best of me, I said,
Le chemin de fer, c'est parfait pour moi. Merci.
He smiled at me, a genuine, intrigued smile. His eyes were warm and soft, and entirely unlike anything I'd seen from him thus far.
Parlez-tu français?
Oui, monsieur.
Oui, monsieur,
I said, exaggerated and grinning.
Un peu conversationnel.
C'est bon,
he said. Then in English.
Baccarat chemin de fer it is, then.
The same terms as last time? I nodded.
Mais oui.
He finished dealing, then paused, tapping his finger against his chin.
What to ask? What to ask?
Oh, right. He hadn't asked me anything yet. Or he had, but I didn't think that counted. I could try to press it, say he'd asked me if I wanted to play again, but no.
Why are you still here?
He asked. It's the middle of a snowstorm with the streets thoroughly undrivable, so both of us are stuck as of now. But why did you stay until it got this bad? That's two questions, I pointed out.
A compound question,
he corrected.
Indulge me.
If I win, will you let me do the same? I asked.
Of course,
he said with a smirk.
If you win.
Smug bastard. I glared at him and he seemed amused by it. Fine. My shift was until 9, and... I glanced at the clock on the wall, in the book club room. It's only 8.
Is that it?
He asked. Was he disappointed? He had a faint, nigh imperceptible hint of a frown. My manager expected me to stay, I said. Honestly, he probably wouldn't have minded if I left, and the other girl who was working with me did before it got too bad, but I just didn't think I should. I wanted to stay, too. I didn't expect the snow to be this bad, but even so, if I have to be stuck somewhere, this isn't a bad place, you know? I like it here. It's comfortable.
You aren't comfortable elsewhere?
He asked, grinning, playful and curious. Lucian Storm playful? No, I doubted it. I believe the terms of agreement stated I'd answer one question, I said, feinting a haughty tone. You're pushing your luck, Mr. Storm.
I don't believe in luck, he said.
Lucient won. Again. He smiled and left his cards laying on the table, not even bothering to gather them up and shuffle before he asked me his next question.
So you don't feel comfortable elsewhere?
I sighed. Are you my therapist? I'll give you this one for free, he said. No, I'm not. I'm curious, that's all. Or, rather, I think this place has a quaint charm to it also, and I can see why you might enjoy it. And so, I wonder what other places you also find agreeable to your comfort.
You want to know where I like to go?
I asked.
Essentially.
Why? Are you going to ask me on a date? Ha! Two can play at this game, Mr. Storm, I thought. He wanted to ask personal questions and unnerve me. Well, I'd turn it back on him.
Perhaps,
he said, running a finger across his lower lip, tracing a line back and forth.
What would you say if I did?
I choked, wide-eyed. Surprised. So much for that approach. Excuse me, I managed to hack out. Water. Thankfully, there was a water bubbler attached to the wall right outside the book club rooms. I stumbled toward it, away from Lucient, and leaned down to drink my fill. my hands pressed against the imprints to make the water bubble up, and I lowered my lips to drink the cool liquid. It stung at first, sharp and cold, but not for long. I let the water cool my mouth and chill my teeth, hoping to distract myself from him. When I finished and stood up, Lucian was standing next to me. Startled, I jumped back. He smiled. I find myself thirsty as well. Well, yes, maybe that was it. Before he lowered himself to the water bubbler to take a drink, he reached one hand out, though. Using the side of his hand, he wiped away a few stray drops of water that clung to the corner of my lips. I closed my eyes, entranced by his touch. So regular and gentle, yet firm and commanding, all at once. He did it because he did, and it didn't seem odd or irregular for him. Just natural. When I opened my eyes, I saw him drinking deeply from the fountain. Water trickled into his throat and slipped down his lips. Draining into the metal basin below him, his throat worked, gulping. Some primal thing, except more, too. Elegant, almost, sophisticated. I watched him swallow. Saw the dripping drops of water coalescing at the curve of his bottom lip and slipping down. Sliding a path into the water bubbler drain. I watched him and swallowed hard, feeling myself fade away. My God, was this happening? It had seemed odd before, but thinking about it more... Seriously, I was trapped in a library during a horrendous storm with this ungodly handsome, rich, intelligent man. And, yes, he was terse and orderly and demanding, but I kind of liked it, I realized. Fun, sometimes. Playful, but just a little bit. At the right times. And then what? Could I coax more out of him? Could I keep this amazing, attractive man the way he was, but unearth more of him, too? Just for myself. I realized the folly of my thinking immediately. I was attempting to convince myself of Lucian Storm's potential relationship characteristics. Except this really was the wrong way of it. Mostly, why did he have any reason to want to have a relationship with me? That's what I should really ask myself. And the answer, I knew, was a resounding no. He had no reason. I offered him nothing. I was a librarian, still in college, with nothing to my name. I had myself and my wits, whatever education and intelligence I'd gained, and nothing more. If he wanted me for my body, well, yes, maybe. Except no, not at all. I didn't think I was attractive enough, first off. He said he found me pleasing, but the more I thought about it, the less likely I considered it a proper compliment. It was vague. Indeterminable. Not to say I found myself ugly, but I had no prime appeal, like the people Lucian probably dated. I wasn't a model, nor some empowered businesswoman. I wasn't any of those things. I was a student, and a librarian. And I looked pleasing, apparently. "Your thoughts?" he asked. I blinked and looked up at him. He just stood there, dark and handsome, watching me. He was always watching, I thought. Not just me, but everything. Carefully considering it and deciding if he found it worthy. He'd never find me worthy. I needed to stop this. Nothing, I said soft. I was distracted. He nodded, as if this were an easy and obvious answer. Then he took my hand in his and squeezed it tight. Shall we? I nodded, meek, unable to say a word. Lucian led me back into the book club room and escorted me to my seat, where he then pulled it out for me and helped me into it, pushing it in behind me. Now, he said, seating himself too. My answer? Why do you want to know? I asked. He tapped two fingers idly against the table. I'm simply curious, he said. If you're afraid. If you're afraid it's because I want to ask you on a date, as you said, please don't worry. I'm a good judge of character, you see. I only ask a woman to accompany me somewhere if I know it's what they want. I'm sure you have nothing to worry about. Correct? Apparently he wasn't a very good judge of character, because if he asked me out right now, after fainting and falling out of my chair, when I came to myself, I'd scream a yes at him and shower kisses across his face. I like quieter places, I said. I do like the library because it's comfortable, but I think it's comfortable because it's quiet. I don't like big groups. It's nerve-wracking, isn't it? He said. I enjoy a social gathering as much as the next person, and I'm privy to attending quite a few with my position at Landseer Enterprises. But I do adore a nice night by myself or with intimate company. It is, I said, frowning. He'd stolen my answer just now, hadn't he? I felt aggrieved. It's not that I don't like being around people, I added. It's just... Well, for example, I received an invitation to a sorority party tonight. A last-minute thing, some snowed-in theme, you know. Except, what do you do at those? Everyone just drinks, and I guess they dance, and then... The invitation made it clear that sex was a welcome addition, and an obvious one if the power went out. It just... sounded dreadful, Lucian said. And gosh. I know, right? Then I remembered something. Wait, what did you mean by intimate company before? Lucian smirked and wagged a finger at me. I've answered more questions than you've won, Miss Tanner. I'm refusing any more. I pouted and bit my lower lip, frustrated. He stared at me. Stared at me. His eyes locked onto mine, deceptively talkative. I saw words in his gaze. Some unsaid meaning. But for the life of me, I couldn't decipher any of it. Are you hungry? He asked, coy. You're taking quite an interest in chewing on your lip. Shall we search for food and postpone this until later? My mouth dropped open and I let loose my lip. He was watching me chew on my lip. Why? I didn't understand. No, I said. I think I do it when I'm thinking. That's all. I appreciate your thoughts, he said. Let's focus on the game at hand for now, though. The same terms? I bit my lip intentionally, smiling. Lucian smirked at me and rolled his eyes. What game this time, Miss Tanner? Lucian bested me at diplomat, too. In hindsight, this was a poor choice on my part. Of course he had the upper hand there. He did this kind of thing daily. Also, I had no idea what he was ever thinking. I had it in my mind that maybe he didn't know what I was thinking either, and I still didn't think he did. But apparently none of that mattered. He beat me. Well, he said, I almost feel badly. Shall I ask you an easy question? He kept a straight face for all of 2 seconds before he grinned, rakish and charming. Shut up, I said, sticking my tongue out at him. By all means, ask the hardest question you can think of. I knew what I was getting into when I agreed to your terms. You awful card shark. Ah, he said with a wistful sigh. The sweet sound of accusation begins. I did so miss their mellifluous chimes. I prefer dulcet tones, I said, huffing and folding my arms over my chest.
"Doesn't everyone?" he asked.
Dulcet tones and sweet nothings whispered into a lover's ear with the mellifluous chimes of adulation. I blushed and tilted my face away from him, refusing to meet his watchful gaze.
"I was accusing you of cheating,"
I muttered, not inviting poetic purple prose.
"Purple?" he asked, aghast. "Oh, no, I wanted to go more for red, like the color of your cheeks right now.
Why do you blush, Miss Tanner?"
"Is that your question?"
I asked.
"Hmm."
He considered it while pinching his chin between two fingers.
"I think the question is a rhetorical question still a question?"
he asked. "A rhetorical question is only rhetorical if you know the answer," I countered.
"And do you think I don't?"
"No," I said firm. "I don't." My face was still red, so burnishly strong and fiercely colored. It was evening now, and we were trapped in a library in the middle of a snowstorm, but I felt like I'd been laying on the beach for most of a sunny summer day. I should probably have brought suntan lotion, or more accurately, Lucent Storm Lotion. If that wasn't a thing, it should be.
"I'll concede," he said. "Do not take this as an admission of defeat, though. I worry for your health, if your face turns a sharper shade of red, Miss Tanner."
"Your question?" I asked pointedly. He pretended to think about it, but I knew he wasn't really. The look in his eyes and the lack of strain around his forehead. Lucent Storm might be good at some things, but I wasn't terrible at my own things, too. I had no idea what he was thinking, but I could tell when he was doing it. And I knew now that he'd already thought about this. Probably quite a lot, too.
"Do you always do as you're told?"
he asked, making a point of letting the question flow across his lips like the chill water from the bubbler before.
"What I mean is, you mentioned you needed to work until 9, and so you stayed. Is this a common occurrence for you? Do you do as you're told in those regards?"
What kind of question was this? I'd expected something interesting and thoughtful, but I didn't understand why he'd ask me this.
"Yes," I said. "I think so. Not mindlessly. I don't do things because someone tells me to, but I do them if I trust that the person who's told me to do them believes they should be done. Does that make sense?"
"Elaborate?" he asked, half lifting a brow, curious.
"Well, obviously if you told me to jump off a bridge, I wouldn't do it," I said, partly laughing. I knew it wasn't very funny, and Lucian didn't laugh, which made me more nervous. In school, they tell you to do your homework and study because it's something that's beneficial, you know? Rob scheduled me until 9 because he needed someone to close down the library at the end of the night. He told me to do it because it was important, and I trust that he knows what's important for this. So I did it. Maybe I shouldn't have, but...
"Do you want to know a secret?" Lucient asked.
"A secret? What?" This seemed very un-Lucient-like. I tilted my head to the side and glanced at him.
"Hmm?"
"At Landseer Tower today, upon the first reports and sights of snow, Mr. Landseer told everyone they could go home for the day. He's quite considerate in those regards and doesn't wish to cause undue stress where he can avoid it. The safety of his workers is paramount to him."
Lucient nodded respectfully.
"It's admirable."
"He sounds nice," I said.
"Among Asher Landseer's many positive attributes, niceness ranks highly,"
Lucient agreed.
"Anyways, I digress."
"You digress?" I asked, giggling.
"Indeed, Miss Tanner, I digress," he said, grinning. "I stayed because I had work to do.
It wasn't of the utmost importance to anyone, but I found it compelling, and desired to finish it as quickly as possible. And thus, I found myself stuck in a powerless tower of well-renown, snow surrounding me up to my knees.
"And then you came here?"
I asked. He nodded. "I did."
"That's not so bad," I said, shrugging.
"We're trapped in a quiet library with nothing to eat. Only a water bubbler to share between the two of us. No beds to speak of. Possibly poor company, depending on how one looks at it. And our sole source of entertainment is a deck of cards. Do you really think this isn't so bad?"
He said all this, but he didn't even sound like he thought it was bad. What was his game here? I had no idea.
"First off," I said, as a point of correction, "we have food to eat. There's a refrigerator in the employee lounge, and there's usually something in it at all times. Also, there's a vending machine."
"A vending machine?" he asked, narrowing his eyes at me.
"Miss Tanner, I requested a tour earlier, and I believe you completely skipped over this point of interest."
"It's a vending machine. I didn't think you'd find it interesting."
Frowning, I added, "Can you call me Elise, please?"
"Certainly not," he said, appearing disgusted at the very idea of it.
"Why not? I rather like my name."
"It's quite a nice name, no doubt, but my reasons are my own, and as far as I can tell, you haven't won a game between us, so I'm not obliged to answer you."
"Right." I threw up my hands, exasperated. "Are you always like this?" I asked.
"No, don't answer that. Of course, because you can't. Or you don't have to. Do you want to know something? That's rhetorical, so not a real question, and I'm about to tell you the answer anyways. I don't like how you're toying with me, Lucient. Do you see what I did there, too? I called you Lucient, your first name. I used it."
I spun away from him, moving my chair so as not to let him look at me. From behind me, he cleared his throat.
"Yes," he said. "I'm always like this, Miss Elise Tanner. I dare say you have the wrong opinion of me, though. I'm hardly toying with you. In fact, I rather enjoy your company thus far. It's pleasing."
I spun back around. The chair beneath me screeched across the floor as I abused it.
"What does that even mean? Pleasing? I know what it means, but what does it mean to you? What kind of compliment is that?"
"A good one," he said simply.
"If I win a game, will you tell me more, if that's the question I ask?"
He nodded.
"Of course."
"One more, then," I said. Lucient gathered up the cards and started shuffling them. I watched him and waited, and once he finished, he looked at me, scrutinizing, ready to deal them out.
"No dealing," I said. "We cut for high cards. The highest wins."
Lucient grinned, apparently finding this amusing.
"Two is low and aces are high, I assume."
"Yes."
"And in the case of a tie?"
"We cut again."
"All right," he said. "Ladies first?"
"The terms," I said. "The same ones as before. Do you agree?"
"Of course, Miss Tanner."
I slammed my palm onto the deck once he placed it between us on the table. I was frustrated and annoyed and upset at him, and I desperately wanted to win. Lucian said he didn't believe in luck, but right now my entire game plan depended on it. I cut the deck, lifting my part away from the rest, and revealed my card.
"A 10," he said. "Respectable."
"Damn it! Just a 10?" "Ugh." I placed the cards back into their pile. "A 10 was good. Better than some of the alternatives. But it didn't seem like enough to win. The odds were stacked slightly in my favor, but not by an overwhelming majority. Lucient cut and revealed his card. An 8.
You've won, he said, smiling at me.
What was that look he had? For some reason, I thought he seemed oddly happy. Only for a moment, though. He replaced his stack of cards back on the deck, then shuffled them for good measure.
Your question? He asked.
I need time to think, I said. This was good. This was big. I'd beaten Lucient Storm at cards through blind luck, and I needed to ask something important. For all I knew, this was the only chance I'd ever get at it, especially considering my subconscious told me the only reason he's even here is because of the snow. He didn't want to spend time with me or do any of this. He had no other choice. He was trapped as much as I was, and...
Show me the vending machine,
he said. A command, not a question.
I hope your head librarian hasn't stuffed it with malnutritious junk.
I grinned, forgetting myself, pushing away my depressing thoughts. No, actually, I think you'll like it.
Will I? Impress me, Miss Tanner. I look forward to it.
I brought Lucian to the vending machine. It was in a tiny tiled floor nook of a room, with a pair of round tables, 2 chairs to each. On a counter, off to the side, a single-use coffee machine stood next to a display of K-cups. We boasted a variety of flavors such as Donut Shop Extra Bold, Colombian Fair Trade Select, Caribou Blend, Caramel Vanilla, Buttered Toffee, and Hot Cocoa. Giddy for whatever reason, possibly from the curious and discerning look on Lucian's face, I took his hand and dragged him to the vending machine. He inspected it, one hand on his chin, then nodded his approval.
Is that fruit? He asked.
I nodded, grinning. I don't know why, but I really liked this part of the library, too. It was so different and irregular, but nice. A kind of kitchen nook, in a way. A place people could go to have a nice lunch, or a snack. Get a coffee, read a book at the same time. Rob dissuaded people from reading while drinking, but he allowed it still. We had an assortment of coffee-stained books in a bin, out back awaiting disposal. No one wanted to throw them away, so they just kind of sat there. For now, anyways.
Hmm.
Lucient mumbled.
Yogurt, too.
I rushed over to the counter and checked the mini-fridge built into the wall. It was hidden in a corner somewhat, near the coffee machine and not easily viewable at first.
And, aha!
There's sandwiches, too, I said.
Well, you might want to be careful with those, though.
Lucian glanced over at me and spied the fridge.
Why's that?
We don't pay for those. They're given to us by the local grocery store, so they're free to take, but it's things they would have thrown out that day. These are all from this morning, so they should be fine. Lucient wandered over and nodded. The space didn't allow easy access for 2 people, though. Pressed close to me, he eyed the contents of the fridge. My breath quickened and my heart soared. Oh, God. He was attractive. I used to think I hated him, but in person he wasn't so bad. In fact, he was kind of fun. In a weird, awkward sort of way. I didn't quite know how to explain that one. I backed away, attempting to move so he could inspect the sandwiches better, but he stopped me, placing his hand on my hip to steady me in place, keeping me confined in front of him. My body, precariously balanced between pressing my back against his front or my front against the counter. He acted as if none of this were at all odd. I reached for his hand, laying mine atop it, feeling the warmth of his fingers beneath mine. He didn't move or say anything at all. Instead, he slid open the door to the fridge, reaching over my shoulder, and pulled out a 6-inch Italian sub sandwich.
I'll take my chances, he said, offering me a grave look. My health is in your hands, Miss Tanner. I laughed, and he grinned. And you? I pressed my fingers into his hand, curling them around to just barely touch his fingertips. We were holding hands, almost. Just barely holding hands? The very tips of my fingertips touched against his, anyways. And I delighted in the idea of it. Lucient and me.
Lucient and I corrected myself.
We... Well, no. He thought nothing of it, did he? I cared little for that right now, though. With my hand free, I took a wrapped-up breakfast burrito from the fridge, then spun around and away from him. Ephemeral and free. My fingers left his, but I didn't care. The fact that he said nothing, the fact that he let me, the fact that... I was acting childish, wasn't I? I grinned, enjoying the thought. A secret immaturity. Some small part of me concocting plans of dates and intimate moments out of our mutual entrapment in this library during a snowstorm. Lucient placed his sandwich on the nearest table and I scurried to sit opposite him. He didn't sit yet, though. Perusing the vending machine, he reached into his pocket and slid a credit card down the magnetic strip on the side. Convenient, he said, looking at me over his shoulder. I appreciate the modern approach. He chose two of everything, almost literally. Stacking them neatly in the middle of the table, he placed two bottles of orange juice, two packages of sliced apples, then strawberries, two yogurts, one chocolate and one vanilla, graham crackers, honey and original, and two granola breakfast bars, cherry and blueberry. I watched him delivering the meal, barely able to contain a silly smile. Hungry? I asked.
Yes, he said. I haven't eaten since breakfast.
Also, I thought you'd like some. Oh, I said.
Oh, that was...
It was nice and thoughtful, but somewhat unexpected. I suppose I shouldn't have been. I suppose it shouldn't have been, seeing as he grabbed everything in pairs, but...
What's wrong?
He asked. You didn't have to, I whispered. I have money. He tried to change the subject.
I note you didn't show me any of this earlier.
It's interesting. I wouldn't have thought a library would have something like this. I'll pay you back, I said. I left my purse near the desk, up front. But I should have money to pay you back with.
No,
he said.
And that was it.
No. Meticulously, he pulled away the plastic wrapper on his sandwich and bit into it. He ate so nicely. It was a sandwich, something anyone could buy at a grocery store, convenience store, but he treated it like some grand feast. Careful, solid, opening his mouth and pressing his lips around the edges, trailing his teeth through the bread and meat and lettuce, the cheese. An orderly, exact bite, and without even thinking. For some reason, it wouldn't have surprised me if he'd just bit off exactly 1/16 of the sandwich and then planned to eat the rest in equal 1/16 bite-sized segments. I don't like that, I said. He frowned at me while chewing. I had him there, I supposed. He was too gentlemanly to speak with his mouth full. I feel like I owe you, if you do that, I continued, while he couldn't or wouldn't speak. So I'll pay you back, all right? Please? He finished chewing and swallowed. I gulped, watching the slow trail down his throat as he did. The slight, thick knot pressing out, down, then disappearing altogether.
Stupid, yes, and still half-entertained ideas of some covert date going on between us, of perhaps sliding my chair over and kissing his throat, feeling his pulse and breath, and the sensations of him swallowing beneath my lips. Lucian sighed. Bothersome.
I understand, he said. What if I offer a compromise?
My ears perked up, and I peeled my eyes away from his delicious throat.
A compromise?
Yes.
Men typically pay for a meal when they invite a woman on a date, do they not?
Are you asking me on a date? I asked, floored.
If you'll accept me paying for this meal,
I'll ask you on a date. We can't just eat food, I stammered, speaking before I thought. That's not a date. He grinned at me, eyes flickering with some unknown thought.
What do you suggest?
We need an activity. An activity? What was I, 12?
We did play cards, he countered.
I rolled my eyes. He stared at me.
Intense, and I blushed.
That doesn't count, I said. I don't suppose there's much to do in here, though. A rain check, then? He asked. Was he asking me to go on another date with him later? Sort of? Or an extension of this one? Another time and place? And we'd do activities? I mentally slapped myself for that one. Activities, Elise, really? That could be anything. Activities could be Lucian and I in a hot mess on the library floor, breathing fast, enjoying each other's bodies while the snow surrounded us, entrapping us in the library. Activities could be... Oh, God! My mind ran away from me, and I ripped open my breakfast burrito and stuffed part of it in my mouth, chewing to distract myself.
I see you're hungry, he said with a smirk.
Very good. I chewed and swallowed, then bit, chewed, and swallowed again. There's the computer, I offered. Up front.
Oh?
Yes, we could... I have a Netflix account. I could log in and we could find a movie to watch. It's kind of cramped up there, but there's chairs.
Let me know what you think of this, he said. What if we did that, except used one of the communal computers instead and brought beanbags from the children's section to sit in? That sounds more accommodating.
Oh, I said. Oh, my God, yes, yes, yes. That sounded very nice. And then we could press the beanbags together, and I could inadvertently lean over and... All right, I said. We need to put them back after, though.
Of course, he nodded.
I thought of it. Thought it over. Thought of everything. And then it struck me. I knew exactly what question I wanted to ask him. He needed to answer it truthfully, as to the terms of our game earlier. And I needed to make it a good one, because I doubted I'd have many more such opportunities. This, though... This was good. It sounded good in my head before I asked, at least. I think I know what question I want to ask you, I said. Lucian lifted one brow while chewing a bite of his sandwich. When he finished, he said,
Do you now?
Yes, I nodded once.
Go ahead.
Was this a good idea?
No, probably not.
I thought it would provide a laugh between us, though. Or something. Clearing the air? Bringing us together? Yes, that was it. Is it true? I asked. I picked at the wrap of my breakfast burrito, suddenly nervous. Did I really want to ask him this? He seemed so regular sometimes. A tinge of fun.
slipping through his austere demeanor, and yet...
Is what true? Lucient asked, curious.
What they write in the papers?
Vague, Elise, I told myself. They wrote a lot about people like Lucient in papers.
What papers are you referring to? He asked. Do you want me to verify any particular incident, or just generally speaking?
The...
I swallowed hard. He didn't look upset right now, and I hoped he wouldn't look upset later. He'd laugh, right? I wanted to laugh right now. Or cry. One of those. Oh, it's silly, I said, failing at a lighthearted giggle. You know, the tabloids. There's rumors going around that you're into all of that domination and things. Though, you don't have a girlfriend, do you? I suppose you wouldn't need one if you had some, girl as a toy. I don't know the terminology for it. That's a silly question, isn't it?
You're speaking of BDSM?
Lucient asked.
For clarification purposes.
I nodded, faintly, unable to say yes. He looked and sounded so serious right now. Not at all like I'd imagined beforehand. I thought it'd be funny. He'd laugh it off. Oh, no, what would ever make you think that, Miss Tanner? Idle chit-chat and rumors and nothing more.
It seems, he said, you're quite interested in me. You're keeping tabs on me through the papers, and you're currently asking about my sexual proclivities.
It's not that, I said.
What is it, then? He asked.
I thought it'd be sort of funny, you know? I mean, not funny in a literal sense, but I thought it would amuse you, and then...
I don't know.
I don't think you're like that, I said. So I thought if I asked that and you said, no, it's just rumors, then... Lucian smiled, though it wasn't exactly a friendly expression at the moment.
And if I confirm it's not rumors, what then, Miss Tanner? Is this the question you really wish to ask me?
You're trying to scare me, I said, frowning. I don't understand you at all. One moment you're... And then... I did it. I went all in. Yes, that's the question I want to ask.
Indeed.
He took another bite of his sandwich and chewed it thoroughly. I stared at him, enchanted, watching him eat, not because it was of any particular interest, though I did enjoy the sight of him in many odd and interesting ways, but because I needed to know the answer. I'd wanted to know before, wanted to blow it off, and then we could sit down on beanbags and watch a movie, but... Now I didn't know if that was how this would go. What was he hiding? Was he hiding anything? Did he just want to scare me? Or was there something more?
Yes, he said, once he swallowed and took a swig of his orange juice. I enjoy domination and a BDSM lifestyle, Miss Tanner. I don't want to scare you.
But does that scare you?
Did you really want to know that, or were you hoping I'd deny it?
I honor my word, and I said I'd tell the truth, as per our agreement. And there it is.
Do you...
What? I sat there dumbstruck. He did that? He did those things? He tilted his head at me, sizing me up, looking ready to pounce at any moment. He really was the wolf, and I was some lamb, trapped, away from the safety of my farmhouse pen, stuck in the woods, in the middle of the night with him, surrounded by dark trees that looked like books.
"Do you tie people up?"
I asked.
"Occasionally," he said with mild interest. "Let's clarify this right now, though. Not people, women.
It's abusive, I said, and cruel. I don't understand how you can do that.
Do you think that's how it is? He asked.
Don't you?
Eat, he said. You aren't touching your food. I'll answer your questions for as long as we're eating. As long as you keep eating, and don't attempt to stall. And then that's it. This goes above and beyond our previous agreement. But I believe it's fair, given the circumstances. I glowered at him and bit into my burrito, chomping on it. This wasn't what I'd wanted. I didn't want to have a date with some abusive asshole stuck in a library with him for who knew how long. And now that I thought about it, were we really stuck? I'd vaguely glanced out the window during our tour, and the trees did look terrible, but maybe I could get to my car. Maybe he could, too. If we drove slow, then, for all I knew, we weren't stuck, and we could leave here right now. Why do you do it? I asked. I don't understand. Do you use ropes and all of that? I do it because I enjoy it. And yes, occasionally ropes. You'd be surprised what you can tie someone up with, Miss Tanner.
Huh?
My tie, for example, he said offhandedly. Let's see. Cords would work, though not preferable. Computer ones, you know. Unplug the mouse and use it as a rope of sorts. Duct tape works well sometimes. Plastic bags can do it in a cinch, if you roll them up. Lots of common items can be set to task. Your pantyhose, for example. Not the most sturdy, and they'd rip with too much strain, but they'd definitely do the trick if necessary. My pantyhose? I pressed my thighs together, thoughts of Lucian and his awkward lifestyle coming into my mind, unbidden. If too much strain, I imagined him standing up, pulling me up with him, then wrenching my skirt high above my waist and applying too much strain with his fingers until my pantyhose ripped, then using the fragments of cloth to bind my wrists and gag me, and he hadn't even said anything about gagging, and here I was thinking about it and squirming at the idea, pressing my legs together in some unreasonable attempt to prevent him from doing anything, which he wasn't even doing. Was it really to prevent him, though? I felt sick, somewhat. Not a regular sickness, no. In my stomach, in my core, I felt a flutter of sensation. Butterflies run amok, frantic, screaming butterflies panicking to get away and out. But they were stuck inside me, sending an erotic chill through the frame of my body.
Are you all right?
He asked. Yes, I said, stuffing the last of my breakfast burrito into my mouth. It's mean, though, isn't it? I asked, chewing with my mouth full. I blushed and swallowed, then asked him again. You don't seem mean, Lucient.
It's hardly mean, Miss Tanner, he said matter of fact. It's controlling.
That sounds pretty mean to me. Are there whips involved? Chains? There's pain, isn't there? You hurt women for the fun of it, for your enjoyment, and I think that's wrong. He watched me, as always, jaw clenched and tight.
I do not hurt people, Miss Tanner. These whips and chains you speak of are an aspect of this type of lifestyle that I do not partake in. I abhor the idea of pain like that. Do you think I pull out my belt and whip people? Do you think I do that for the fun of it? If so, you have a very wrong idea of me. At the most, I'd perform a mild spanking with my bare hand.
I needed to go, to leave right now, immediately. This was too much. Lucian kept looking at me, interested in my reaction. Was he saying these things to get a rise out of me? Or did he really mean them?
Did he do them? At home? With...
You don't have a girlfriend, I said.
How?
Currently, he said, I do none of these things. I don't go into this halfway, Miss Tanner. I don't just accept anyone off the streets. I do not search, nor do I hold auditions or anything of the sort. It just happens, and that is all.
Oh, I said. I see.
Do you know? He smiled at me. I didn't understand him, and I had no idea what he was thinking right now. Why did he keep looking at me like that?
I know you said that we're trapped in here, I said. I'd like to check, though. Maybe the snow stopped, or maybe the roads are cleared.
They might have plowed. We might be able to leave.
Perhaps, Lucian said, nodding.
Amenable. It never hurts to weigh our options.
I'll go check, then. I'll just be a moment.
I went to stand and leave. But something stopped me. On my feet, looking down at him, Lucian seemed quiet and introspective, alone almost. Was it my imagination? He didn't actually look like it bothered him. Didn't show any signs of being upset, but I felt like... I felt like nothing. I couldn't. I didn't know this man. I thought I knew him a little, but I didn't. All that I knew of him came from videos on YouTube and news from reputable sources and illicit tabloids. He liked cards and abusing women. Or maybe not abusing, but it still wasn't right. It was wrong. A terrible thing. I hated the fact that he acted as if it wasn't, though. Why? Why didn't I hate it? Or why did he like it? I asked myself this, and I couldn't come up with an answer.
Please, don't be frightened of me, Miss Tanner, he said as I turned to leave. I would never hurt you.
I'm just going to check the front door, I said. I'll be right back. I walked slowly away from Lucian in the tiny cafeteria nook, or I walked slowly until I knew I was out of sight of him. And then I scurried along, fast and quick, walking hastily towards the front door. I needed distance and to get away from him. Maybe I should stay away, too. But he wasn't so bad, was he? We played cards, and he answered my question truthfully. If he didn't want me to know, he could have lied. He could have said anything, really. He could have downplayed it and said he enjoyed casual bedroom games that all couples played. No. No, though. He didn't say any of that. He liked control. He wanted to dominate women. He had a velvet-covered paddle. Why velvet-covered? I wondered. What was the purpose of that? I imagined it, running through the process in my mind. All right, so, for this theoretical mental experiment, I was naked in Lucian's bed. What did his bed look like? He probably had a dark room with red sheets, since that seemed appropriately evil in my mind. I was naked, bent over on all fours on his bed, and he came up behind me with the velvet paddle and... thwack! What did it feel like to be spanked, though? I didn't know. I tried it, stopping my urgent rush to the front door for a moment. I slapped my rear with one hand. It didn't feel like much. I tried harder, and I felt something, but it didn't really feel painful. A quiet sting, a soft, resounding sensation that stuck with me after the fact.
but no pain, as such. Maybe... maybe spanking wasn't so bad. Maybe a paddle hurt worse. Lucian said he disliked hurting people, though. So, no pain, right? And then the velvet, soft and sensual, pressing against my skin. Not just any skin, but my bare ass, I thought. That was how this worked in my imaginary experiment. I pictured it, the paddle leaving a gentle sting on my skin, and then the soft, silken feel of the velvet caressing my bare backside. The fabricated Lucient in my mind rubbed the paddle back and forth, covering me with the intimate feeling of warmth and security. And then... thwack! He pulled it back and spanked me again. I tried to deny it. I did deny it for a good 10 seconds or so. But not any longer. The idea of that, alone in Lucian's bedroom, spanked, stinging, sensitive, soft and secure and warm, controlled. It was really fucking hot. I didn't know why, though. It did seem abusive. But how is it abusive if it didn't hurt? But why, though? Why did he want to spank me? Or I needed to remind myself, not me. He had no interest in me, per se, but these things in general. Why do it? What was the purpose? To control someone, of course. So it must be a form of punishment. Why was the idea of being punished arousing me then? No, I was wrong. It wasn't this at all. The thoughts I had in my head were simple bedroom games and nothing more, and whatever it was that Lucian did, that wasn't it. He must do more, have more involved in it. The idea seemed sexy to me right at this moment, but I hadn't lived through it or done it, nor did I plan to. It wasn't sexy. It was wrong, and I just didn't know why yet. I hurried to rush to the door again, rousing myself from my mental examination. When I arrived there, I frowned. The library was older, built maybe 100 years ago or so, but the door was somewhat newer. Not glass, and not see-through, like most doors in this area, but it did have 4 large window squares, forming a square in the top half. Currently, the snow went up to the very bottoms of the lowest windows. I did the math quickly in my head. The weather forecast said 78 inches, so over 6 feet, and I was just about 5'6", and it was still snowing outside. In front of the door, on the sidewalks, and in most of the streets, the snow looked like it went up to my waist at least. We still had 3 more feet to go, and another storm potentially on the way after that? Fuck, fuck, fuck! I was trapped! Damn it! What should I do? I didn't know. I needed to figure it out. Trapped in here with an abusive asshole who I'd promised to watch a movie with. And how did I get out of that? Oh yes, I said to myself, acting it aloud. Sorry, Lucient, I can't watch a movie with you. I need to wash my hair tonight. I need to go do this. I need to go. Doo-dee-doo. Oh, yes, of course. I had nowhere to go. This was it. Him and I. Would he do something? Or try to? What would I do if he did? The ideas of spanking still stuck in my head, as trapped there as I was in this snowstorm, refusing to shake loose and go away.
What if he tried to come on to me? What if he tried to force himself onto me? There wasn't much I could do, was there? According to him, he could bind me with any number of things and then spank me as much as he liked, and... What came after the spanking? I blushed, thinking about it. Well, what did come after the spanking? There must be sex involved, right? It seemed likely, so... Spanking. Soft. Warm. Gentle. Stinging. Resounding echoes of sensation thrumming through my bare ass. And then Lucian. Inside me. Hot. Filling me. Sending me over the edge. Oh, God. I needed to open a window and douse my face in snow and cool off and stop these ridiculous ideas because that wasn't it. That sounded good, and Lucian didn't want good. He wanted control. It doesn't look like the snow has stopped, Miss Tanner. I apologize for that. I'm not sure either of us can safely get out of your library window with the door blockaded like that. I spun around and saw Lucian standing there. He looked serious and stern, but ridiculous, too. For whatever reason, he'd brought along all of our snacks. Plus, I noticed an extra bottle of orange juice for each of us, and held them, stuffed in his crossed arms. And I was afraid of this man, or almost afraid. I shouldn't be afraid. He didn't seem scary, really. I laughed. Hungry, Mr. Storm. I thought, he said with a twinkle in his eyes, we might need some snacks for the movie. Do you agree? I think that sounds nice, I said, calming down. Lucian was odd, but that didn't make him bad, did it? He likes abusing women, I reminded myself. He said he didn't, though. He called it something else. Maybe I was the wrong one? Lucian sent me to get the beanbags. I scampered off, thinking nothing of it. And then... He was ordering me around, wasn't he? Controlling me. Telling me what to do. I didn't mind going to get the beanbags. Not really. But the principle of the whole thing bothered me. Did he want to make me into one of his women? With the spanking and all of that? Abuse or whatever? Tying me up? Binding my wrists? Well, I wouldn't. And this was just the beanbags, anyways. It was my library, kind of. So maybe he didn't know exactly where they were, anyways. He'd found me napping in one earlier, but maybe that was by accident. I left him to watch over the computer and sort through our snacks, so technically he had something to do. We were both doing tasks and setting up for our date. Activities were definitely involved here. Our date? Lucian asked me on a date. It seemed somewhat remiss before, an off-the-cuff remark tossed out to get me to agree to let him purchase food for me from the vending machine. Did he really want to go on a date with me, though? And, of course, if he did, he probably wanted me to partake in his bondage domination hobby obsession, whatever it was. What was the word for it? Hobby or obsession? So he wanted me to do that, because he asked me on a date. And now he sent me, ordered me even, to get the beanbags. And I was in trouble now, wasn't I? Next thing I knew, I'd be stripped on his red-sheeted bed, waiting for him to spank me with his velvet paddle. No, no, no. Nope. Not at all. I grabbed the beanbags, hurried back to him, and threw them on the ground, careless, trying to act as uncontrollable as possible. I flopped onto one of the beanbags and lay there, throwing back my arms. Lucian sat casually in one of the wooden chairs near the public computer desks.
He turned the chair around and rested his elbows on the back, propping his chin up on his hands, fingertips trailing along his cheeks. He looked so handsome and nice, just sitting there, doing nothing. "Hello, I'm Lucian Storm, and I abuse women," I thought of him saying. "Do you want to have passionate, sensual sex with me? I'm quite attractive, you know." I hated him. I wanted to kiss him. He didn't say any of that, though. "Oh, no." "Miss Tanner," he said, sighing. "Your skirt?" I glanced down. When I'd plopped into the beanbag, I hadn't bothered to make certain my skirt landed properly, and apparently I'd given Lucian quite a show. His gaze lingered on my exposed thigh and my pantyhose creeping up my leg. Thankfully, the skirt covered the important parts, but just barely. I scrambled up, fixing my skirt, pulling it down so it covered the tops of my knee and my thigh, like it should. "Better," he said with a nod. "Why do you say anything?" I asked. He lifted one brow.
"I have no idea what you mean."
"You could have just stared at me. I'm glad you didn't. But I didn't even realize it. Why do you say anything?" He laughed.
"Do you think I'm some barbarian, Miss Tanner? I hardly want to peek at a woman's intimate areas without her knowledge."
My idiot mouth said,
"So you'd do it if I knew?"
His lips curled into a wicked smirk. "I suppose I'd consider it if you asked, though I fear both of us might find it a chore."
"A chore?"
I choked on the word. I'd never been so flatly denied before. Not that I often went out attempting to flirt with men and seduce them, right off. In fact, I'd never done this. But for him to say that looking at me was a chore... He didn't really need his BDSM things to be mean. He could do it well enough without. "Let's watch a movie, Miss Tanner. Your information?"
"What?"
"You need to put in your account information so we can use Netflix. I don't know what it is."
"Oh,"
I said. "Oh, right." He stood to move out of the way so I could seat myself at the computer.
"You can put it in,"
I said.
"Oh?"
He gave me a funny look.
"It's a good idea to keep your account information confidential, you know."
I laughed. "Lucient," I said. Then I hurried, still laughing. "I mean, Mr. Storm, do you really think I should safeguard my Netflix account information from you? What will you do with it? Order DVDs to my house or watch streaming entertainment on your personal computer? I think if you really wanted to, you could pay for your own subscription quite easily. I'm surprised you don't already, actually. It's very useful."
"Touché," he said, smiling.
I liked when he smiled. His disarming, charming smiles, at least. Not the false, guarded ones. Lucian had two smiles that I'd seen. And I much preferred this one to the other. "I prefer Hulu Plus," he said, as he touched his fingers to the home keys on the keyboard.
"Huh?"
"I use Hulu Plus in my home life, Miss Tanner. I prefer it to Netflix, though I understand there's different benefits to both."
"Oh," I said. "I like Hulu, but I don't pay for it. I use the free one."
"Email?" he said. I told him it. "And my password is Elise. You spell that out. E-L-I-S-E. Then 778-69-585. Those are the numbers."
"Thorough,"
he said with a grin. "I like it."
"Thanks,"
I said, blushing. "It's just safer. You know? No one's going to guess something like that."
"Yes,"
Lucian said. He nodded, looking understanding. And then the faint crinkle of a grin returned to his lips. Because you never know who might want to steal your Netflix account. Am I correct? I rolled my eyes at him. You're teasing me. I am, he agreed. He looked at me intensely, some odd, unknown expression in his eyes, and that lovely, disarming smile on his lips. I looked back at him and I wanted to keep looking at him, but I couldn't. I shied away, overindulging in the sight of him, and now feeling like I'd gained a stomachache from enjoying too much. My eyes shifted downwards, and I glanced at the beanbag before distracting myself by snatching up one of the snack-sized bags of graham crackers Lucian had carried over. I ripped open the package and plucked one of the graham squares from it, then stuffed it in my mouth. Lucian wasn't looking at me anymore. Instead, he was toying around on the computer, browsing through my Netflix instant queue movies, ones I'd bookmarked, to maybe watch another time.
"Somewhere in time, Miss Tanner?" he asked.
"You aren't supposed to see those."
"You aren't supposed to see those," I said, panicked. With a mischievous, rakish glance, he waved me off with one hand. "I offered to let you do this, and you declined. You have no reason for objection now. Anyways, it sounds like a pleasing movie. I'll start it."
"It does sound good, and I've wanted to watch it for a while, but it's a romance movie," I muttered.
"I enjoy a good romantic film," he said. "The premise sounds intriguing, too. I'm sure we'll both enjoy it."
"Maybe." Lucian and I started watching the movie. It was an older film, so not the most visually stimulating, but I liked the look of it. The acting was good, too. Interesting. The premise, as Lucian stated before we started, was intriguing, too. And then we learned the woman's name.
"Elise," Lucian said with a teasing smirk. "She looks like you somewhat, too, doesn't she?"
"She does not," I said. Then softer. "I didn't know her name was Elise in this movie." "That's weird."
"Her love interest is Richard," Lucian said, pondering aloud to himself.
"What of it?"
"My middle name is Richard," he said. "Didn't you know?"
I gaped at him, mouth open. The movie played in front of us, refusing to accept our distraction. I stared, and he grinned.
"And was he flirting with me?"
"It is not," I said all of a sudden.
"It's not?"
He feigned confusion.
"That's odd."
"It's Aiden."
Triumph. He couldn't fool me.
Lucian clapped for me. Golf style.
"Well done, Miss Tanner. You certainly know quite a bit about me. Call me impressed."
"I remembered it from a YouTube video I watched earlier," I said. "I'd rather call you Lucian, also."
"A YouTube video?" he asked. "Are you stalking me, Miss Tanner?"
No. "It was on the front page of YouTube, a recent speech you made." I wasn't stalking him. Did he think I was? I wrung my hands together, nervous now. I didn't want to give him the wrong idea. What did it matter if he thought I was stalking him when I wasn't anyways? Why did I care what he thought? I didn't. I shouldn't, at least. I kind of did, though.
"If you must,"
he said, exaggerating exasperation.
"I suppose you may call me Lucian."
"Really?" I asked, nearly jumping up. This was far less exciting than I thought it ought to be, but it made me excited nonetheless.
"Excited, are we?"
"Will you call me Elise then, too?" "Please?"
"No,"
he said, accepting no argument on the matter. "Why?"
"It's a personal thing," he said.
"A personal thing." Not intending to, I pouted at him. "Please, Lucian."
"Yes, it's a personal thing. And no, I won't do it.
I'm surprised you don't know the reason, actually, since you seem to know more than a fair amount about me.
I'm not stalking you.
Or anything, if that's what you're saying.
He grinned, enigmatic.
I said nothing of the sort, Miss Tanner.
You're a brute, I said, and for good measure I added.
And a cad.
Abusive, I've been told. He nodded twice.
And mean as well.
You're teasing me again and I don't like it. I folded my arms over my chest. Both of us had apparently forgotten the movie. I didn't care, though. For all the complaint I offered, I liked this. It was fun, challenging, and flirty. A little silly, but not too much. I wanted him to say something else, somewhat more. But I didn't know exactly what that was yet.
I am, he said. I refused to look at him. Intentionally, this time, instead of being turned away by his intent gaze.
But I peeked over at him, surreptitiously. Lucian sat there on the beanbag watching me, looking dashing and wondrous despite the childish chair beneath him. He had a silly smirk on his face and his hand beneath his chin, like Auguste Rodin's statue of the Thinker. He was so handsome and assertive, ruling the space around him and making it his own. No matter what he did, and no matter where he was, I think he'd always be attractive to me.
Always? I asked myself that, curious what answer I'd come up with. Even with his tendencies?
No, of course not. I said this, except I knew if I kept looking at him and he kept looking at me, I'd become undone. Somehow. I didn't know how yet. He had this air about him, unknowing, which made it even worse, as if he'd cloaked himself in eroticism. Worse yet, I didn't think he realized it. It wasn't something he did intentionally. Maybe it wasn't even him. It was me. It must be me. And I knew this for a fact. If I stayed next to him right now, I'd do something regrettable. I'd melt and become a puddle of flirty, daft arousal, or I'd pounce on him and force him to force me into wrestling my clothes off, then his clothes, both our clothes. Some heap of inhibition tossed onto the floor so we could find the sweet center of sexuality hidden beneath. And
I need to use the bathroom, I said.
Lucian nodded.
As you wish. I'll pause the movie, he said.
I scrambled up when he turned his gaze away from me, and I rushed away from the computers and him and my naughty desires. The intent behind escaping him was to cool down and flee from his attractiveness. This is what I wanted to do, at least. Unfortunately, it stuck with me like those frustrating stickers they put on books sometimes where you can't remove it without completely ruining the cover. Lucian was going to ruin me, I knew. I needed to find some glue remover or something before it was too late. I didn't need to go to the bathroom, so I didn't even go to the bathroom. I went nearby, though, for good measure. The bathroom was by a reading bench built into a corner wall, and I hurried to the bench instead, sitting myself down on it. This should work. Relax, Elise, I told myself. Sit here, calm down. He's not really that attractive, is he? Smooth, clean-shaven face with dark, silken hair. I liked Lucian's hair. I wanted to run my fingers through it, or...
No, tomorrow I wouldn't like it, I told myself. Not at all. He'd wake up unshowered with dirty hair.
Dirty hair from my dirty thoughts, and maybe we could get a little dirtier still. My mind was not my own, and I disliked that. Except it wasn't my own, so my mind rather liked everything that was going on, which honestly felt somewhat disconcerting.
Well,
What if I appeal to you for a moment? I asked myself this. Myself was intrigued. What do you mean?
We're alone, I said to it.
You know what I mean.
Oh.
Yes. All right, but just this once. And then leave me alone, all right? Yes, all right. That's about how my mental conversation went. We had a very good repertoire and understood one another when necessity dictated it. My mind took control of my body, and I lost myself in the ideas flitting through my head, ideas of Lucient and spanking, and somehow romance fitted in there. Except, maybe not. Did it matter? Yes, it did. But not right now. I slid my skirt up from beneath me and shifted my pantyhose down to my knees, revealing my sex. My fingers rushed immediately to the center of my thighs and stroked through my trimmed pubic hair. I closed my eyes and imagined it was Lucient there, his head between my legs, his hair between my fingers. I was gone, lost, Lucient, Aiden, Storm, and I together, trapped in a library. People did crazy things when they were trapped, didn't they? I wasn't in control of my actions, was I? Well, actually, Lucient wanted to be in control of them, from what he said. He wanted to tie me up and spank me, and he never said he wanted to do any of these things to me, exactly, but I pretended he did. My fingers caressed my arousal slit, grazing back and forth, caressing my body. I thought of Lucian's velvet paddle, and I brought my other hand to my pantyhose, feeling the softness of them. The paddle should feel that soft, I thought, just like that. I dipped two fingers inside of me and gasped. Oh, oh, I moaned aloud. Lucient wasn't here. It didn't matter if I moaned. I could do what I wanted. He wanted to control me, maybe, but I controlled this. I licked my lips, salacious, acting as if he were here right now, and I was about to seduce him. Take me, I thought. I want you. I need you. My eyes, half-lidded, flickered open when I noticed a faint glimpse of movement in front of me. At the end of this aisle of shelves, closer to the wall with the bathroom door, stood Lucient. He watched me down the aisle, saw me with my pantyhose near to my knees, and my skirt riding up to my waist. I glanced at him, eyes glazed. Then I died. I scrambled up with my pantyhose, attempting to pull them up and cover myself, but I nearly slipped off the bench in doing so. Lucient rushed forward with long, purposeful strides and propped me up, keeping me from crashing to the ground. I wanted to thank him, except I still had my crotch on open to show him, and... By all means, Miss Tanner, he said. Don't let me interrupt you.
What? I whispered, unsure.
Continue, he said. He walked away from me and returned to the end of the aisle, then stood there, watching. I stared at him, seeing him go. I didn't know if I wanted him to go or not. He wanted me to continue? I couldn't continue. What was I, some whore, some shameful slut who pleasured herself on open display while allowing a man to watch? Well, apparently I was partly that, since he must have seen something, but... He said before that he'd hardly want to look at a woman's intimate areas without her knowledge, and that he thought, if I offered it to him, we'd both find it a chore. Except we were here, and he didn't look as labored as he made it sound. Also, I felt quite a bit less burdened, too.
I wanted him to watch, too. Silly. Dumb. Frivolous. Was I some college tramp? Did he think I was? I hoped not. I touched myself again. Fingers tentatively sliding along the outer edges of my labia. Lucian watched me, eyes intent, never wavering. Was this a chore to him? I didn't want it to be. I wanted him to enjoy it. I slid my fingers up and down, gathering my arousal. Then I gently teased at my clitoris. I stroked back and forth, moving my hand just so he could see what I was up to. Pressing my feet against the bench and leaning back, I spread my legs to give him a better view, too. I grew bolder at his words and at the sight of him. My body quivered with excitement. I'd never done this before. Never even entertained the thought before now. I didn't know if I should do this or be excited by it, but I didn't know if I could stop any time soon either. My pulse soared and thrummed inside of me, pounding through every inch of my body. I felt so much more aware and sensitive now. My physical body heightened and improved by his presence. Before me, an entire hallway's length away, Lucian brought his hand to his forehead. His fingers grabbed at his hair. Though he gave no impression of anything away with his facial expression. Then, smooth, he pushed back his hair, trailing his hand to the back of his neck. And he nodded. I watched him, sensual, just standing there, impressive. I wanted him so badly. I wanted him to come over to me and smack my hand away and bury his face between my thighs. I wanted him to bring me to orgasm, then unzip his pants and pull out his erect cock and thrust inside of me. I wanted more. Another climax with him, both of us, tangled together in one messed up, abusive mix. Was it abusive if we both enjoyed it, though? I didn't want him to hurt me, and he said he wouldn't, but I liked the idea of roughness. I reveled in the thought of him lusting after me so much that he found it hard to stop his primal sexual needs, pounding, thrusting in me over and over. My fingers dipped into my slick folds, bringing a physical sensation to my imagined one, and I gasped. I removed my hand fast and swirled my clit between two fingers, circular, smooth motions. I couldn't control myself, and I doubted even Lucian with his BDSM tendencies ever could have either. My body lapsed into climax, fierce and wild. I'd never felt anything like this before, but then again, I'd never done anything like this before, too. I teased and tormented myself, exploiting my pleasure, hoping to heighten it and begging it to give my body more, twitching on the bench, undone, arousal flooding my senses. I forgot everything. I forgot even that Lucian was watching me. Once I finished and calmed, my body in a trembling mess on the bench, I looked up. Lucian smiled at me, soft and gentle. "I'm glad you're all right," he said. "I was worried when you didn't return after a few minutes. I'll wait for you back up front." "Lucian," I wanted to say, but his name came out in a choked mess of nonsense. He smiled at me, nodded, and left. I didn't want him to leave. I wanted him to come back. I wanted to hold him and touch him, and I
just masturbated myself to climax in a public library while Lucient Storm, the director of public relations for Landseer Enterprises, watched me. I couldn't go back to him. The movie was done. It wasn't really, but it needed to be now. I couldn't do anything. What had I done? I couldn't believe any of this had actually happened, and my mind tried to lull me into some semblance of a sense of security, reassuring me that nothing was wrong. Except it was. This was very wrong, horribly wrong. We were trapped, and he had the wrong idea about me. I needed to tell him that. But I couldn't go speak to him. I didn't want to see him ever again. Except I wanted to see him right now, right away. Face burning, feeling red and delirious, I scrambled off the bench and pulled my pantyhose back into place. I fixed my skirt and checked my shirt, and then I left. I ran away, far from him and the computer and the movie. I fled to the stacks in the very back of the library. The stacks were like a warehouse almost, with special use books not available to the general public, completely separated from the front. Ours weren't large, not by any means, but they were big enough for me now. I needed to hide and leave and wait for the snow to stop and for Lucian to go away. Some part of me said I shouldn't, though. Why shouldn't I? I should go to him. And what, I wondered. Do what? Do it again? I shuffled through the stacks, stumbling to the very back of them, and huddled in a corner. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to be here. I wanted to cry. I wanted Lucian to hold me and tell me everything would be all right. Would he ever, though? He wanted to control, not to comfort. I didn't understand any of this. Please enjoy a sample from the second book in the Billionaire's Paradigm series, His Absolute Attraction, by Cerise Dulise. I felt exhausted, so tired beyond belief, but there was nothing I could do about it. How long had I been in here? And how much longer did I need to stay here? I wanted to sleep in my bed, but I had no bed right now. I was trapped in the library I worked at, currently holed up in the stacks, hiding from Lucient Storm. Lucient Storm, director of public relations for Landseer Enterprises. Handsome, commanding, more than a bit demanding. Curious and interesting, sometimes nice, though mostly not, and potentially a card shark. And also, the man who'd walked in on me masturbating. More importantly still, I'd kind of just kept at it, hadn't I? To be fair, he did keep me from falling off the bench. That was a nice thing to do. Did it deserve a sex show, though? People helped other people all the time, caught them when they tripped, opened doors and all of that. I didn't offer myself to climax in front of everyone who helped me, now did I? No. But then again, I didn't find most people as horrendously attractive as Lucient either. It wasn't even any one part of him that I liked, really. If I thought about it, most of his parts on their own were unattractive, really. The way his eyes narrowed in thought, almost a little beady looking. Or, no, they never looked beady at all. He had soulful, sad eyes. Enchanting. He wanted to put up a front of impassive airs, but sometimes he didn't. Sometimes I saw a glimmer of amusement or a flicker of annoyance. Small emotions, nothing too large, which I realized, belatedly, was perhaps why he performed so well at cards. He hid himself behind a mask. Not perfectly, though. Except, was that a mask, too?
Did he only give up what he wanted and keep the rest for himself? Was everything he did calculated? Weighing the risks against the benefits, pros and cons? I frowned, thinking about it. This upset me. What then was the benefit of watching me masturbate? For enjoyment, no doubt, but when he did it, he didn't look too enthused. Not unenthused, though. I remembered the way he slicked back his hair with his hand, looking stricken. With grief? Yes, maybe. Not a bad grief, but a what? I'd thought I was tired before, but not anymore. I felt awake and vibrant again. Perhaps not very vibrant, but my mind cycled through ideas needing to figure this out. I needed to figure this out. Who? Why? What? How? I settled with the easiest question first. Who? Lucian Storm and myself. Where? In the library near the bathrooms, on a corner bench at the end of a bookshelf aisle. This, I decided, would make a wonderful game of Clue. And what would Lucian's weapon be? Rope, of course, to tie me up, and maybe after he'd use his cock to commit a more heinous, delectable crime, and I was really fucked up, wasn't I? Oh yes, Elise, I muttered in my head. Just imagine even more sexual shenanigans with a man you don't even know. Perfect. Pretend you didn't act like a total slut out there, putting yourself on display. And worse yet, enjoying it. I was a horrible person, and I knew this, and it upset me, which was probably why I was still hidden in the back, amidst special use books huddled in a corner alone. Miss Tanner, Lucian said, from somewhere far away and outside the room. Not too far, I guessed, since I could hear him. Are you all right? He sounded worried. Why was he worried? I really didn't understand this. This was the third time he'd come after me when I left. And it seemed odd, but I couldn't quite figure out why. Granted, how long had I left for? I remembered dozing off a bit, upset, on the verge of tears, and then the door to the stacks opened. Or more accurately, it opened more. I hadn't fully closed the door when I entered. Miss Tanner, Lucian called out. He peeked around, but didn't step inside. He was about to leave, but I called back to him. I'm here, I whispered, my voice soft, getting caught between the bookshelves. Maybe he didn't even hear me. Except, no, he did. He opened the door, determined, and stepped inside. Flicking the light switch on, he illuminated the room. He couldn't see me. Not at first, but this wasn't the largest of rooms, and a quick inspection brought me full into his view. He saw me huddled on the floor, my knees tight against my chest, arms wrapped around my legs, face half hidden behind my knees, and my mussed-up, messy hair. He saw me, and he rushed forward and knelt in front of me. "Are you all right?" he asked. "What's wrong? Were you crying? Tell me." I laughed at his nervous questions. They seemed so out of place. He glanced at me sidelong, frowning. "I'm so ashamed," I said. "I can't believe I did that." "What?" he asked. Did he really not know? I wanted to cry even more now. "Lucian, I..." "Oh," he said, sudden comprehension hitting him like some brilliant epiphany. "Miss Tanner, no. No, that's not. Lucian, I really do appreciate you trying to downplay the whole debacle. And if you're acting as if you've forgotten it, you're very good at that, but..." "I'm sorry," he said, commanding and humble all at once. I wasn't even sure how he could be so... everything. He was what he wanted to be, apparently. "I worried," he added. perhaps needlessly, but I worried about you. And so I went to make sure you were all right. And I should have left. I shouldn't have worried.
What?
I asked. I was the confused one now.
This has been His Absolute Obsession, The Billionaire's Paradigm, a BDSM erotic romance, written by Cerise Dulise, narrated by Irma Kent. Copy.